All right. Well, we have another caller waiting to share a question with us. Charles is on the line. Good evening, Charles. What's on your mind?
Hello. This is Charles. I actually have a little bit of a comment and also kind of a question for both of you. During the Sika Health Summit, actually in the first two of them, 2007-2008, you know, we had a lot of community members get together, and the top one of the top priority projects for both years was the, you know, a community facility, a recreation facility and everything, and the Hames Center, you know, was, I mean, it's not the first choice, but it was something that was active, that was, you know, we were in right now, is cheaper than that building from scratch and everything. And, you know, so I think there are a lot of people that really do feel like they've got a tie to this, you know, that they'd like to see some kind of a community recreation center, just because of the aspect of you know, the physical well-being in town and everything. I mean, there are a lot of groups like the Coast Guard, the State Trooper Academy, Search, Community Hospital, some of those that are using this program, as well as community schools. And then also one thing is for about 2 years now, this whole building has been in limbo. And so as far as fundraising, you know, trying to see if we can't find any kind of a long-term solution. We've not been able to do anything with it because of we don't know from, you know, more than a couple months in the future what the status is. So, you know, even if we had a couple-year lease, we could at least know, okay, we can go out, we can sell memberships, we can go out, we can get sponsors, we can look for a grant. Is there anything like that that folks can do to maybe buy a little time where we can look and see if we can find some alternative funding, so it isn't always falling on the city to take care of it, but still keeping this open? And because it is a valuable piece of property for a lot of people in this community as far as quality of life.
All right. So, Charles, it sounds like your question is there anything we can do to buy ourselves a little time before what happens, you know, before the future becomes really cloudy, really messy? Cheryl Westover, do you think that there's anything?
You know, I would like to say yes, but the bottom line is this isn't our building, and we've had trouble, you know, with lease negotiations, and as Jay's even said, I mean, when we were going to put the $1 million we were willing to pay on the for the election on the ballot, then the Board of Trustees comes running in saying, no, you know, we're not going to take... We're going to sell it for $3.7 million, and the building needs so many repairs. If you don't have, I don't know what we can do to. You don't just go out and get grants for a building that needs so much repair, and that's where you got to start. You can't just go into a building and not have the revenue source to first buy it, because we don't know what SJ is willing to do, because they change. It seems to me they change every time our administrators talk to them, but. Beyond the $3 million, then there's the repairs before you can even really start looking for grants and that type of thing. So it's just a hodgepodge of a lot of questions and very few answers.
All right, Mim, anything to add to that?
Well, you know, the PE Center, you know, it's
One of the things
I was trying to, there was a thought that I had and I just got it back. There's ultimately, this is something that's up to the community, and if there's enough people in the community that want to fund this PE center, and it's going to take a lot of money, then they're going to have to vote for it and say yes, we want it. I mean, that's what it boils down to. So, you know, whether there's some other grant monies out there, who knows? I mean, that I would assume that's something that's already been looked at by the task force. But, you know, ultimately, it's up to the community to decide whether they want to pay for this facility or not.
All right. Well, we finally did get Michelle's question via handwritten note here. so it's addressed to you, Mim, and I'm just going to read from this note here. It says, you're replacing an outspoken supporter of climate change action on the assembly. What are your thoughts on climate change, and do you support Sitka's climate action in the future? And Mim, of course, to you first, and then we'll go over to Cheryl. Go ahead.
Yes, I do support activities for doing what we can to mitigate climate change. I do believe that it's something that's real, that exists, and that does threaten our community and our world. And I myself do what I can to restrict my my footprint on this earth, and would like to see more people in the community doing the same.
All right, Cheryl, climate change. What's the agenda look like going forward here?
Well, I think this assembly has been very positive in regards to addressing climate change, and it seems to be more and more in the news every day with what's going on around the world. So as long as we can keep the citizens on board and get them going the way of recycling and maybe with the dam, maybe we can become an all-electric town eventually if we can raise the dam and use more electricity. But yeah, I think, hey, I'm an animal lover, and I want those polar bears to have blocks of ice for as long as Mother Nature will let her.
All right. It is 35 minutes after the hour right now. You're listening to KCAW. We are in the middle of a live call-in forum with our two assembly candidates, Mim McConnell and Cheryl Westover. If you have a question to ask, the number is 747-5877. We would love to hear from you. A variety of issues out there to talk about tonight. We've got our own list of questions, but of course, we're a little more interested in, frankly, in what's on your mind. So again, 747-5877. We were talking about Sheldon Jackson. Let's go a little further south on the island now and head over to Sawmill Cove. The Sawmill Cove Board has made building a multi-purpose deep water dock a priority. I think they said that at the last assembly meeting. Do you agree that a deep water dock is a priority? Cheryl Westover.
Absolutely. I think with the news of possibly a big marine haul-out company and with hauling the big trucks and van loads of fish through town, we can't sell bulk water unless there's an actual tanker wouldn't be able to pull up to a multi-use dock anyway, but the whatever it takes, a big tube that would run out to the tanker, that type of thing. But I do think that's just one of there's several economic pieces of our puzzle out there, and I've always, I can't imagine not having And why wouldn't we want a cruise ship to dock or to park there for during the day for $10,000 or whatever the wharfage fees? Plus, in building the dam, we could get more wharfage fees for all the materials brought in if there was a dock. So I'm not only interested in having a multi-use dock out at the Cove, but I'm interested in it getting done sooner rather than later, so we can get these wharfage fees for the things that are actually going to happen, and that is the raising of the dam, for one.
Mim McConnell, deep water dock, is that a priority?
Yeah, I do think it is a priority. I am in favor of it. You know, one of the ways that our community can deal with this loss of sales tax revenue that we're facing, especially in the coming year, is to work on building businesses in our community. And one of the places that we have the room to do that is out at the Sawmill Cove Industrial Park. That's a good place for the kind of activity, and we need to do what we can to help encourage that kind of growth in our community. And one of the ways that we can do that is by having a deep water dock out there. And that would be just kind of goes hand in hand with activities that could happen out there.
All right. If you have questions for either of our candidates, Mim McConnell or Cheryl Westover, for the Sitka Assembly, the number to call is 747-5877. And we do have a caller on the line right now. And so let's go. Good evening. You're on the air. What's on your mind? Give us your name, too, please. I'm sorry. Oh, it sounded like we had a little hang up there. Are you still with us? Okay. We lost that one. Sorry about that. So we're talking about Sawmill Cove and the multi-purpose deep water dock. The board for that industrial park has said that such a dock would be a priority. Let's talk a little more about the cruise ship's idea at Sawmill Cove. You both have expressed, you know, thoughts on that. What do you think is the biggest obstacle right now two mooring cruise ships at Sawmill Cove? Because it is, I mean, it's a difficult topic. People have very strong feelings on either side of this, don't they, Cheryl Westover?
Well, let's see. This last vote we had, it was in conjunction with the cruise ship companies owning the dock, and we had a vote before that where the voters said, yes, we could have a dock out at Sawmill Cove. So I think if we keep it in our... I think the real problem is we don't want to lose ownership of that specific spot. And I think with what's going on economically, and I know not everything's based around economics, but really it is. I mean, the bottom line always is money. But I think to have jobs out there, longshoremen would be put back to work. So I think people are kind of seeing, as long as we keep control of the dock and don't turn over our only deep water port to some other entity, I think we're getting a lot more support for the idea of a multi-use dock.
All right, Mim McConnell, on a cruise ship, what do you think are the main obstacles to making that happen out there right now?
Well, the last time that this was really discussed, it seems like there had been some meetings and discussion. There had been some surveys done with retailers in town, and I'm kind of vaguely remembering seeing some results from all of that. This was when I was involved with the visitor industry study group, and it seems to me that one of the issues was some of the retailers downtown didn't like the idea because of it would change the dynamics of where people come into town. It would affect their businesses, and it seems like that's the only one that's jumping out at me that was an issue. I'd have to revisit my notes and all that, but.
What's the likelihood that could happen, that if people are disembarking away from downtown, there will be a detraction of business from downtown? Cheryl?
I was thinking about this, and not that I'm good at the logistics of this, of the particular problem on where the people go, but I've had the business owners tell me that if the lightering happens by the bridge, then the upper downtown is busier, and down by can't think of the name of the building. Anyway, it just seems to me, Sitka's so small, I can't believe the tourists can't get all the way around. So it seems to me if you did have a dock and run buses in, you'd drop some at one end of the town in equal numbers. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that would be really take care of the where people shop, and maybe if people didn't figure, I guess there's something about the last boat to the cruise ship. That must be kind of scary for people that haven't been around the water like we are, so they don't want to miss that last boat. But if you miss the last bus, you can grab a cab. So I think maybe that mentality may go away. But I think you can adjust where the people are let off and be fair to everybody.
Okay,
more fair.
We have somebody holding on the line right now, but before we go to Tamara, we're just going to tell you again that the number to call, if you have questions, is 747-5877. And Tamara has been waiting with us. Tamara, good evening. Are you there? You're on the air. What's your question, please? Oh, we have somebody on the line here. Is this Tamara? Hello? Okay. Well, the phone is not being our friend tonight. I'm sorry about that. Back to Sawmill Cove Industrial Park. The current composition of tenants at the park, what's your opinion of the way that that mix is made? Are they, are you happy with the kind of industries that have located there and what they're doing with... Let's go back to the phone line. Is this Anne? Anne on the line? All right. Well, it's my first time in the pilot's chair here, so I apologize for the errors. We're talking about the Sawmill Cove Industrial Park and the current composition of tenants at the park. Mim McConnell, are you happy with who's out there and the kind of services they're providing? How do you think that speaks to the health of the long term health of the park?
Well, there is definitely a mixture, I don't know a whole lot about it. You know, some have done well, some not as well. You know, the water bottling we've seen a number of failures there. Hopefully the one that's there now will be able to hang in there and be productive. The Omega C has done well, I don't know what else to say about
All right,
that.
Cheryl Westover.
Well, as far as the kinds of businesses, I mean, I welcome any kind of business out there, and I think one of the biggest success stories right now is Silver Bay Seafoods. Mm-hmm. We don't have our raw fish box tax numbers in, but with all the sales taxes going down, our raw fish tax is expected to be higher than it's ever been, I think, is what we were told. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and I hope all the businesses do well out there. I know we have the candy, we have Theobroma, we have Fortress of the Bears, we have the tribal tanneries mm-hmm. Potentially coming in and building a building. So it's just just businesses out there is just a good thing.
All right. Cheryl, the interesting thing about the park is the board process with it and how things are working in terms of the Sawmill Cove Industrial Park has a board that acts basically as an advisory body to the assembly. Let me address this one to you first, Cheryl.
Okay.
Are you comfortable with the Sawmill Cove board process, particularly their involvement in advocating projects like the disposal of the old pulp dock or building a new deep water dock?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable in them doing that. That's why they were created, to make a go of the place out there. I think what their job is to kind of eliminate their job. And if we get businesses out there, and especially if we sell most of the land other than the deep water port, because I don't think the city has a good record of being a good landlord. So I'd like to see most of all the land be turned over into private hands, and then the board might be whatever is needed. If we get the multi-use dock up and running, they might be managing that, but anything else, if everybody owns, we're kind of out of the picture. But I think probably a Sawmill Cove board's job is to try to eliminate their job down the end.
Mim, the board, the Sawmill Cove board, how do you see their function, and do you think that their role in not only being an advisory body but also kind of an advocacy body for what they think should happen out there, how do you see that role?
Well, so far I think that they've done okay. They've got kind of a big task out there. It's a lot of old falling down buildings, they've got some pretty tough decisions they have to make about some of the facilities and trying to get the right people in there that can make a go of their businesses. It's what you see is what they've done. They definitely have had some good successes. So I think that kind of speaks for itself.
All right. The current mayor has tried to reinforce the role of the assembly as a policymaking body. So how will you react? Mim, let's start with you. How will you react when people, come in with complaints that there are too many dogs running around off leash, or that bicycle and skateboard helmet laws aren't being enforced, or that there are too many bears running around? I mean, how do you see the assembly's role in those kinds of matters?
Well, when I've already had one person ask me a question and some advice about something, and thinking that maybe it should be an assembly type thing, I said, well, I would suggest going to the city administrator on that first, and see if you can have this issue addressed and work. You know, that's really something for them to be dealing with. And I am a firm believer that the assembly, just like a school board or those type of bodies, are the policymakers. And I think it's important to not be micromanagers. I think that's what the administrators and executive directors are for, is to carry out the policy.
Cheryl Westover, the role of the assembly as a policy body versus a day-to-day management body?
No, we're not a day-to-day management body. We have a wonderful administrator, and if we don't, if we're not going to use them, then But that's his job. Turn these little matters over to him, and if it becomes a big problem, then it becomes a policy decision, kind of like the bear ordinance and garbage. I really like that. It really hasn't needed a lot of enforcement, but the ordinance is there for those people that think that throwing garbage in their garbage cans is something they need to do. But no, I think we have a great administrator, and that's the day-to-day decisions are his job.
Of course, the very first thing that comes up when there is an issue out there in the community is call your assembly member, call an assembly member. So how do you handle those constituent concerns without taking that extra step into micromanagement? Where's that? That seems like such a tricky balance, Cheryl.
Actually, it's very easy for me. I mean, I get people stopping by work to talk to me about all kinds of issues, and I listen to them, and if it's something I think needs to be addressed immediately, I just get on the phone to the administrator and say, you know, I've got this, people having this problem, you know, see if you can fix it.
All right. Mim, anything to add to that?
Well, you know, when I worked at the Legislative Information Office and when I worked at Sitka Works, I often found myself in a position of referring people to various other places to have their needs met. And I would just continue doing the same.
All right. Okay. There are some ongoing issues in city administration in terms of projects that we hear asked about over and over again. So what role should the Assembly play in some of those ongoing issues in the city administration, such as completing the Kim Sham ball fields or tension between professionals and volunteers and the fire department, you know, or things like that that pop up that get brought before the Assembly? Mim, how do we get some of these ongoing things solved without, again, you know, without taking that extra step into encroaching on management territory there?
Well, by not getting sucked into trying to resolve it. If it's something that belongs to city staff, then that's who needs to deal with it. It just requires a firm response, I think, on the Assembly's part that, sorry, but this is not our purview. This needs to get taken care of through the proper channels.
All right, Cheryl, maybe I'm saying the same question over and over again.
Yeah, and you're going to get the same answer. I mean, if you've got a good administrator, I mean, that's their job. I mean, we are asking the same question.
All right.
Let's move to something.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
It is right now, it is about 8 minutes before the hour. We have time probably for one more phone call if you're out there. 747-5877 is the number to call if you have a question for either Cheryl Westover or Mim McConnell on our live candidate forum. They're both Assembly candidates in the upcoming municipal elections. While we're hoping that the phones will ring, waiting for the phones to ring, let me ask you just kind of a broad question about your vision for Sitka. Cheryl Westover, what would you like to see Sitka become that it isn't already?
Well, I think just a little bit more of what it already is. It's a wonderful community. I grew up here. I think people tend to, even when we have all kinds of differences, we all come together to take care of one another if somebody gets sick or if somebody passes. And I would be remiss in maybe getting to use this forum to wish my best to the Alice McChesney family. I saw her daughter today. She was an institution in this town, and it makes me smile when I think of her, because I don't think I ever saw her not smiling and pedaling her bike and rowing her boat and all kinds of things. But for Sitka, I just want Sitka to be healthy. I want, and not just in body, but in spirit. And I don't think we can do that unless we can get just some more mom and I use the term, and I continue to use it, the mom and pop shops that keep us going and try to help the businesses that are struggling, especially I think there'll be a lot of struggling going on this winter. I've already had people tell me they're going to have to start laying off workers, and so we just kind of need to tighten our belt right now and try to get through the tough times, because I think they'll get better.
All right. Mim McConnell, what's the vision for Sitka? What do we need to be that we're not already?
Well, I don't know about what we're not already. I do agree with Cheryl about how we just need to be more of what we are. I do think that we need to do whatever we can to support the diversity that's here, the diversity in people, the diversity of businesses, and the diversity of industries that are here. That's what's kept this place going. And I think we need to be the kind of community that can give us more people like Alice McChesney and Yvonne Mose, who we've lost recently, and both incredible people and unique individuals that any of us can aspire to be like. And those are the kind of people that help make this such a wonderful place.
All right. One more time to the phones. Charles. Charles is waiting for a question. Good evening, Charles. You're on the air. Charles. Okay. Charles, are you there? Okay. One more issue question. The hospital, Sick Community Hospital. What support, if any, should the assembly be giving the hospital? Mim McConnell.
Well, it is a community hospital, and it serves an important function in our community, obviously. And so I think that we do need to do what we can. They do have a new administrator. He sounds very promising. Sounds like he's got a good track record. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he'll be doing with the hospital. So,
all right. Cheryl Westover, the hospital.
Well, that's kind of been one of my little pet projects. I just really support both of our hospitals, but because the revenue stream for search is so different than Sika community, we do give tobacco tax money to the hospital, but in reality, our hospital delivers well over $1 million worth of free services to a lot of our citizens that have no insurance or that can't pay. And so when we're sitting up there doing the budget, to me, I think we might not be able to fund it like we do our police department and fire department, but it's equally important. And I think when we are doing our budget, we could do better than, I think this year we gave them $67,000, and that's kind of a slap in the face for a city-owned building and what they provide in services.
All right. Well, thank you both for your time and for being here. We are at the end of the hour now. So, Cheryl Westover, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ed.
Mim McConnell, thanks again.
Thank you, Ed.
All right. You have been listening to Raven Radio live call-in election forums, and they will continue tomorrow night when we'll feature the school board candidates, Cass Pook and Tom Conley. And then on Thursday, we'll discuss two ballot propositions on road bonds and the 0.5% sales tax hike with representatives from City Hall.